Coming up now, it's Saturday Morning Sports Talk with Blake Cripps and Dylan Sherwood.
PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. A good Saturday morning to you, Blake Cripps. No Tim Miller today. We do have Dylan Sherwood and the studio engineer Dan Courtwright in the penalty box turning the dials today, as we've got another great show for you planned. Dylan, how are you? Not such a great night last night for our Emporia High School Spartans.
Yeah, a game that was very competitive through one half. And then a 95-yard kickoff return kind of set the tone of the second half.
Sure.
Emporia High had its opportunities. You know, they were able to force a fumble in the second half as well. But just they had three interceptions and another fumble, so the turnover bug hit them in the second half. Five turnovers overall.
It's amazing how the turnover bug will change the complexion of a game.
Yeah, and I mean, Sheldon Stewart was very efficient in the first half last night. He only completed three passes in the second half.
Wow. Yeah. That'll make it difficult as well. The in our area game of the week, I know talking with Taken Trahoon, who filled in for Mr. Deeker on the area game, yeah. And you and I were talking, you know, we know how good Burlingame is. I did not see Burlingame going down by over 40 and getting mercy ruled. And, you know, that's not to poo-poo Burlingame or anything that they're about. That's more just to point out, like, wow, if you're in the Chase County District, you might want to circle them on your schedule because it appears that they're very, very good.
Yeah, and they have won three straight. They lost to Frankfurt in week one. And their district, which is Madison, Chase County, Linden, and Burlingame, they're all in the same district.
Which that's all local teams that we follow.
And Chase County has to play Madison in a couple weeks, a month. Chase County plays Maranatha, but then they play Linden, then they play Caraparavel.
Sure.
Burlingame has to play Caraparavel next, and then Maranatha, then Madison and Linden. And then, I mean, that district is a gauntlet. We found out a lot last year, but Linden, they get Madison next, and then they get Chase County. So Linden, who's the second-ranked team in eight-man Division One, they won last night 58-30 at Caraparavel. But Linden, and they're having two tough tests in their next 2 weeks with a good Chase County team that just knocked off Burlingame at Burlingame and a Madison team that's 4-0 with a new coach.
Yeah, that is – it's a very impressive start for Chase County, and that is a very, very difficult district. That was part of the reason, and maybe it doesn't work so well in the smaller classes. That was one reason – I mean, I'm sure you'll recall with Emporia High how there were districts in 5A and 6A – that were so much more difficult than other districts, and why the 5A and 6A coaches finally got together and said, why are we doing this? And I know that the City League and Wichita certainly led the big charge of that. I don't know how Emporia High felt about that at the time. Again, you were probably in Salina when that was happening, covering two 5A schools.
When they switched from districts to the current playoff format, it was after I graduated from KU.
Okay.
So my first year of covering high school sports, which was at the Gazette. So I was covering Emporia High. And so the first year that I saw that format was here. So
what was Emporia's Emporia High's, I guess, a bit of a different coach, obviously.
Yeah,
at that
it was
point.
Coach Corey Millison.
What was his opinion on it at the
he
time?
Loved it.
Yeah.
He loved it. He thought it was better than the district play. But also, Blake, if you go back to when Emporia High had to be in that district play, I know back when I was in school, Emporia High played like Salina Central, Salina South in district play.
Sure.
Wichita Heights was a district opponent at one point.
They kind of bounced around 6A and 5A a few years.
Yeah, your Topeka West Chargers were a district opponent as well. I know Andover Central and Newton were district opponents at one point.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's completely different now.
Oh, for sure. And like I said, you know, geographically, maybe that doesn't work as well for the small classes. You know, they obviously it's just a 5 and 6A thing that they did, but it would be nice if you could spread out some of those teams locally. And I understand why you want to play. You have those local rivalries, mm-hmm. but man, it sure is a shame when you've got, you know, a district like that. You think, man, if they probably all four of these teams could be playoff teams possibly.
But. Yeah, I mean, how they set the playoffs now in 3 and lower, they seed at 1 through 4, and then like 5 and 6, they get an additional week 9 game.
Sure.
That's kind of a consolation bracket
crossover.
So they'll play like if they're the 5 seed out of their district, then they'll play the 6 of another district.
Well,
so.
Coming up on the show today, we will have Emporia High football coach Caden Glinsman joining us. We'll also talk with Alex Gold. We actually talked to him yesterday. He's got some responsibilities up there, but we talked to him. He's the host of the Cody and Gold Show on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, of course, covering the Royals, the Chiefs, Jayhawks, Wildcats, a lot of the same things that our listeners care about. So that's coming up in just a bit. Of course, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtis in just a bit as well here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. But now it's time to name our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. And I know you've got one for the area, and you've got one for Emporia High as well, Dylan.
I do. Not that many came into the boat for both Emporia High and our area athlete of the week. First, I'll go over Emporia High. Elise Eckert was 5th at Topeka West on Monday, shot a season best 78. But I'm going to go with Callie Keough of the girls tennis team. She was 3-0 at Washburn Rural on Tuesday, and she could have played a 4th match, but that tournament was rained out and canceled. But Callie went 3-0 in pool play, so. And she's a sophomore, going to be a contender in singles in Class 5A. So Callie Keough of the Emporia High girls tennis team is our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And what about for the area?
Well, the area, a candidate from last week is Caleb Arnold from the Opie Cross Country team. Won another meet on Thursday. He was 1st at Wabunsee. But we're going to our area game of the week for this week's Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week, Wyatt Griffin of the Chase County football team, 229 yards passing, 3 total touchdowns, and a big win for the Chase County Bulldogs, upsetting the 5th-ranked team in 8-man Division I, and Wyatt Griffin.
Wow. Yeah, very, very impressive. And just a reminder, if you've got an athlete that had a great performance during the week, get a hold of Dylan at SherwoodD@KVOE.com. That's SherwoodD@KVOE.com. Congratulations again to our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. When we come back, we'll talk with Emporia High School football coach Caden Glinsman, review last week's loss to the Topeka High Trojans. That's next on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. We're live and local.
At Longbine Auto Plaza, it's Chevy truck season, and that means great offers on new Chevy trucks that are perfect for your hard-working jobs. Truck season offers on new 2023 Chevy trucks, like over $5,000 MSRP on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT 2.7-liter crew cab. Or get financing as low as 0% and $1,750 total rebates. Or get an all-new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS for only $489 per month, 36-month lease. And with all the fun fall activities, let our certified technicians keep your vehicle in top running shape for those fall road trips and school activities. Chevy truck season is the time for incredible savings on new Chevy models. So come see us today or visit our website 24/7 at longbindauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. 489 payments based on 36-month lease with tax fees and first payment due at closing with approved credit.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Today we celebrate the life of former Dartmouth football head coach Buddy Tevens. He passed away this week, succumbing to injuries he sustained from a bike accident 6 months ago. Tevens shined at quarterback for Dartmouth in the 70s and had two stints as head coach for his alma mater. He led the Big Green to five Ivy League titles and is the program's all-time winningest coach with 117 wins in 23 seasons. As an advocate for player safety, Tevens was the first college football coach to eliminate live tackling in practice. Instead, he collaborated with Dartmouth's engineering school to create an MVP dummy, a robot tackling device that is now used by several college programs and NFL teams. Tevens also used his position to create more opportunities for women in college football. In 2018, he hired Callie Bronson as quality control coach, making her the first full-time female coach at the D1 level. Buddy Tevens was 66 years old. Back with more in a moment on This Week in the NCAA.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder. Mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Won the Sullivan Award this week, which is handed out by the New York Athletic Club. The honor is given annually to the most outstanding athlete at the college or Olympic level. Clark was the consensus National Player of the Year and led the Hawkeyes to their first title game in school history. She became the first women's basketball player with 1,000 points and 300 assists in a single season. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk, driven by longbindauto.com. We are efforting Emporia High School football coach Caden Glinsman for our chat with him after the homecoming defeat against Topeka High yesterday. Dylan, talk a little bit about the overall atmosphere for homecoming. What was that like?
I felt like that was the best atmosphere we've seen all year. With the homecoming festivities.
I mean, it should be.
And they had the mini cheer as well. We're still trying to get a hold of Coach Glinsman, but I mean, just hearing I was able to figure out our crowd mic problem last night, and so I was able to hear the crowd a little bit more. And so you could probably hear in the background a little bit on the broadcast, but I can tell you this, that first half, just hearing that energy and everything, and there were big plays in that game, like. When they went for it on 4th-and-1 for the first time, and Sheldon Stewart went to quarterback sneak, I was like, did he get it? Did he get it? And then they signaled
first down,
and then first down. It happened twice, but it just felt like there was a different kind of vibe.
Well, I believe
last
that
night.
Yeah, I believe that we've got Coach Glinsman on the line with us now, the first Emporia High School homecoming for the EHS head coach. Coach, thanks for the time. We appreciate it as always. How was that homecoming atmosphere for you and your first homecoming at Welch Stadium?
Yeah, no, it was good. I thought that we had a great showing out. Wish the outcome would have been a little bit better, but the fans here are just so supportive. Have a great student body, and that seemed like they had a ton of fun, and like I said, I wish we could have came through on our end, but it seemed like they had a lot of fun on Friday night.
Well, you guys were really competitive early in the game, and the first half you guys were neck and neck and had a lead, but it just didn't finish. And you've said several times, you know, we have to find a way to play a complete game of football and put 60 minutes together. It didn't quite do that. What allowed you, I guess, to start with a positive, what allowed you to be competitive in the first half?
Yeah, well, I think we had a good game plan. I think maybe we put too much on the young men moving forward, but you know, I felt like we were in a good spot there. Offensively, we were kind of clicking. You know, they were playing pretty tight, and we just couldn't end up, you know, stretching the field vertically and take the top off. So it was just a matter of time before you know they're outnumbered us in the box, and we couldn't do anything about it. And then on defense, you know, I think that was our best. The best game we've played so far. I just think it was a matter of consistency. You know, sometimes we've got everybody covered up, and you know, and we're running the ball, and everything's really good. And then all of a sudden, you know, we've got three or four guys at the ball, and we can't make a tackle, and we can't get guys down, and you know, so it just comes back to the fundamentals, and we'll keep working.
Coach, speaking of that strong start to the first half, you know, after you guys punt the football away, and then you get a fumble there, and then you tried to cash in, but then turnover on downs. And I know that kind of happened a couple times, including in the second half. But again, missed opportunities to put points on the board. You know, how does your guys continue to learn from those mistakes?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of playing football. You get better at football by playing more football, and right now we're super young in some spots, and we're going to continue to be young. You know, and I told the players after the game that, you know, we're gonna get better. We're gonna see over these next couple weeks, you know, who really loves football. You know, because we're gonna get better. We're gonna get after it, you know, throughout the week, and you know, and then when it comes to the games, those are really just a bonus for us, and it's time to get some of these guys some playing time.
Coach Glinsman is our guest, Emporia High School head football coach. Coach, you guys had a very strong defensive performance in the first half, which has been an issue of concern. We've had you on the last couple of weeks, especially in the over-the-top passing game and defense in your secondary. What allowed you guys, specifically defensively in the first half, to put together such a strong 30 minutes?
Yeah, I think that our DBs are continuing to get better. You know, like we said, we've got some first-year guys out. We've got some guys that you know, haven't been able to, for whatever reason, whether that's injuries or whatever, complete previous seasons, and so they're still new to it. But you know, we're in week four, so we're seeing the ball, trying to see the ball a little bit better. I think some injuries derailed that there in the second half, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of a next man up mentality, and you know, we just weren't able to get it done.
Coach, I know you were without two of your big playmakers in half number two. One was Calvin Seeley, kind of got banged up on a kick return, and Cooper Reck. I don't know how he got out of the game, but I saw him at one point going, you know, sitting next to Calvin. Any status about them?
Yeah, you know, I don't know about Calvin necessarily. He's going to see our trainer, and he's listed as day to day. So we don't know necessarily what we have there, and then. Cooper, you know, it's at some point early, I think he may have twisted his ankle or something with the foot, but he just wasn't full speed. I know if you were to go back and look at the film on that interception we threw early on, you know, we had him on a flag route and into the end zone, and he just wasn't full speed, and we just, you know, credit to the guy for trying to battle through. You know, he's a heck of a competitor, but you know, he just wasn't able to move at full speed, and you know, especially with having him as a two-way player, you know, that hurt us for sure.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead, I was going to ask him about Manhattan. Go ahead and close it out, Dylan. Go
well,
ahead.
Coach, early thoughts on Manhattan. 16-game winning streak down the drain as Washburn Rural got them last night.
Yeah, no, they're a very, very quality opponent. And they're, like you said, they lost one to Washburn Rural last night, so they're going to look to get back on the winning side of things. And, you know, for us, we've got to, you know, my message to the coaching staff this morning is we just got to get better at what we do and you know, continue to try our best to put these players in a position to be successful. We're going to do some new stuff this week. And, you know, just try to keep on keeping on and, try to do the best we can for these kids.
Emporia High School head football coach Caden Glinsman joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports. Coach, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And again, we will have that covered for you as the Spartans take on the Indians. That will be coming up on Friday on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE with Dylan Sherwood on the call. Take a break. We'll come back with Alex Gold, host of the Cody and Gold Show on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Talked mostly Royals and Chiefs, but we did get a little Jayhawk football talk in with him as well. Alex Gold next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE.
At Longbine Auto Plaza, it's Chevy truck season, and that means great offers on new Chevy trucks that are perfect for your hard-working jobs. Truck season offers on new 2023 Chevy trucks, like over $5,000 MSRP on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT 2.7-liter crew cab. Or get financing as low as 0% and $1,750 total rebates. Or get an all-new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS for only $489 per month, 36-month lease. And with all the fun fall activities, let our certified technicians keep your vehicle in top-running shape for those fall road trips and school activities. Chevy's truck season is the time for incredible savings on new Chevy models. So come see us today or visit our website 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy. Find new roads. $489 payments based on 36-month lease with tax fees and first payment due at closing with approved credit.
Kirk in motion, left to right. Triangle is set to the right side. Lawrence, pump faking, head sack! He's sacked! Chris Jones gets the sack at midfield!
This Sunday, the 1-1 Chiefs return to GEHA Field at Arrowhead when they welcome the 0-2 Chicago Bears. Pre-game starts at 2 p.m. right here on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Listen on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football. Country 101.7.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Up next on the show today, Alex Gold. He is the host of the Cody and Gold Show on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Another KJHK guy, Dylan.
Yeah.
So we got three KJHK guys here on the show, three KU guys. Alex, a guy that I also worked with in Wichita, and obviously up there in Kansas City, they're covering all the stuff that our listeners care about when it comes to Royals and Chiefs, Jayhawks, Wildcats, and used to cover the Shockers all the time. So, man, Alex, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. How have you been?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, it's been a bit, huh? It's been a little while, but it's great to talk to you guys. And yeah, it's the best time of the year, and I certainly am excited to be on with you guys.
Well, let's go ahead and get the really terrible, awful story out of the way as this Royals season is mercifully about to come to an end. I know that this has to have been a painful 4 or 5 months for you talking about the Royals, you know, several days on your show. But are there any white, you know, any kind of silver lining or a white light at the end of the tunnel for this Royals season? I've heard several people tell me, oh, well, they're going to be so much better next year. And there are positive. There are bright spots. They have shown that. Bobby Wood Jr., they've brought up some pitching that has worked out. But overall, you know, when you're getting to your 50th win in September, it's a failure of a season any way you slice it. But what's kind of you, what's your outlook and your take on this Royals season as it's about to come to an end?
Well, there's no question. I mean, I can't go through another season like this. I don't think the Royals can go through another season like this. I mean, this was brutal. I know it was called an evaluation season from the beginning, but I think the Royals have even admitted in that front office publicly they didn't think it was going to be this kind of road to getting back to relevancy, right? I mean, I think they knew it was evaluation year. Nobody was thinking they were going to go win the division or maybe even compete for the division, but nobody thought they were going to be competing with the Oakland A's for the last, you know, the worst record in Major League Baseball, which is what they've been doing for the bulk of this season. With that said, I mean, you asked about silver linings. I don't know how many more wins necessarily it's equating to next year, but I do think you learned some things this year to make you feel a little bit better about potentially the path the organization is going down. First and foremost, you mentioned trades. You know, I think this organization over the last calendar year has shown that through their major league scouting of other teams, when they're making trades, they've actually been able to hit. You know, Cole Reagans was someone they acquired from the Rangers, and we all know how they did that. It was signing Aroldis Chapman to a deal where we all knew in the offseason their goal was to get him to look good and then flip him. It's exactly what they did. They traded him early on in the trade portion of the season, or before really got to the trade deadline. Cole Reagans has been one of the best pitchers in baseball since they acquired him, and he's a guy that absolutely has a chance to be either their ace or number two starter next year, and that's the type of trade they're going to have to continue to make. I think you see Michael Garcia, someone that you knew would get up with the big league club at some point this year, but now you feel like you have stability at third base and what he's brought to the table. We all know about Bobby Witt Jr. I think the questions still remain on whether or not they are going to go out and spend some money this offseason or make some trades, even if it's trading away someone like MJ Melendez or otherwise, to continue to improve pitching. But, you know, we had John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo on our station here in Kansas City earlier this week, and they were pretty honest about their assessment of these pitchers. And J.J. Piccolo, the Royals GM, acknowledged that, hey, look, you know, we think some of these guys can bounce back, you know, guys like Daniel Lynch and others that were hurt, but we're not going to wait on them. And I thought that was so refreshing to hear. We'll see if they actually act on that, right? But I like what I'm hearing from the front office that, hey, if these guys come back from injury and they're beneficial, great. We've got depth in the rotation, or we've got a strong bullpen. But we're not relying on, you know, Chris Bubich, whoever, to come back from injury and be one of our legit, legit starters. Instead, let's go out and see if we can't go make moves. And if we happen to get these other guys back, that's great. Then we're in an even better position.
Alex, I know you guys have Vinny Pasquantino typically on your guys' show, but I know with him being injured for a majority of this year and having guys like Nick Prado on the IL, you know, just with all the pieces together, what do you think this Royals team could be here in the near future?
Yeah, look, I don't know if they're competing in the AL Central next year, but I'll say this about the Central. Fortunately, they're in a division where if they get to 500 in the next 2 years at some point, you're right in the mix, guys. I mean, nobody's yeah. running away with the division. This is not the AL East where, you know, you can win 95 games and lose your division. I mean, if you get to 500, you're right there in the thick of things. So that's the only, you know, benefit of being in the division that they're in. You know, as far as an exact win total, I mean, I don't even want to throw out a number because I think this roster is going to still look quite a bit different by the time we get to spring training next year. I do think they're going to trade some pieces. One of them could end up being Salvador Perez, which I know he's a fan favorite, and I think it's easier to trade him now than it probably ever has been, based off of kind of just where I think fans are maybe wrapping their mind around it a little bit better than they would have before. But it's awfully tough in a market like Kansas City where fans are loyal to players. You know, it's easy in Tampa where they've done a great job. They will, you know, churn out players over and over, and that's been their mentality, and that has worked for them. I think in Tampa, frankly, when you don't have the loyal fan base that you have in Kansas City, it's easier to do that. And I think it's tougher to trade someone away like Salvador Perez, but I think he might be a possibility to get moved, bring back some prospects, and then that actually gives them a lot more flexibility with what they want to do, not even just spending, but I'm talking about, you know, what do you do with MJ Melendez? Is he your right fielder next year, or is he your DH? Is he on another team? I think there's a couple spots you obviously can pencil in automatically. You know, I think Drew Waters is your center fielder next year. I think Nelson Velasquez, who was also another guy they traded for. They traded Jose Quas, a reliever, to Chicago. And now Velasquez, I mean, he's hitting a home run every 10 plate appearances right now. That's the pace he's on. It's ridiculous. So I think you know that. You know you got Garcia and Witt Jr. And then we'll see. You know, Vinny Pasquantino coming back, as you said, from an injury. Should be their first baseman next year. But I don't know if that's set in stone in terms of, you know, is he completely off limits in the offseason? I don't know. I would have certainly liked him in Kansas City. As you mentioned, we have him on our show on a weekly basis, and he's a great guy. But I think there's plenty of moves that have to happen still this offseason for us to have a better feel about, you know, what kind of improvement can they actually have in 2024.
Alex Gold is my guest. He is the host of the Cody and Gold Show on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. One thing that has been a major story for a lot of this offseason, or I guess it feels like the offseason's already been here because the Royals have been so bad, but there's been so much talk about this potential new ballpark for Kansas City. It hasn't been that long since I've been up there. they just put in all this money. I think the last round of renovations for Kauffman Stadium was in 2012. I talked to people who go up, and they say, man, I don't get it. The stadium's still pretty nice. How is that news landing in Kansas City? I know that there's going to be a lot of extra stuff around the stadium that they'd like to do for an entertainment district, but the stadium, this is not Oakland Stadium. They're not competing with the worst stadium of Major League Baseball. How do you see this moving forward, and what's your thought on the current state of the K?
Yeah, so personally, I think they do need to leave Kauffman Stadium, and I'm in the minority, I think, from a lot of fans that we hear from, though, because, look, Kauffman Stadium is great. I've got great memories there. We all do. It's part of the World Series run that they had in 2014 and 2015, and it is a beautiful setting, and there's not a bad seat in the house. But I think you still, if you've gone to any downtown stadium, I don't care if it's in Minnesota and Colorado, you name it, if you've gone to a downtown ballpark, and certainly any of them that are newer, you recognize some of the differences that come with that. And I think you also have to recognize where the game is headed. And if you are an owner of a club, you're looking for revenue-making opportunities. And frankly, you're limited with what you have out at Kauffman Stadium. And there hasn't been growth around the Truman Sports Complex. You know, it was a great idea back in the day to have the Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium in the same parking lot, and it creates this great tailgating atmosphere. But it's an outdated setup, and baseball is in more and more cities downtown. And the two sites the Royals are considering, one is North Kansas City, the Clay County site, and one is in downtown KC Mo in Jackson County. And the Royals were initially going to have an announcement on the site location by the end of this month. They've now announced that that's not going to happen. It's going to take a little bit longer. They still want to have a vote for it for the public in April of 2024. But I'm all about going downtown in particular. I mean, the Clay County site is not technically downtown, so I really want downtown baseball. I think, you know, imagine yourself going to a game, and then afterwards you don't feel like your only option is the Taco Bell across the street, you know, and the gas station, which is all you got. You know, that you can go to a bar afterwards. You can go and have dinner. Hey, if you're someone that is an owner of a business in downtown, you take clients, well, you can just walk right from your office and go to an afternoon baseball game. I think there's advantages there. We'll see if the club actually does what they said, which is, hey, we're going to have more revenue opportunities through the ballpark district as well. That doesn't count against revenue sharing. We're going to put some of that money back in the team. And I know people listening are saying, okay, really? What are they? I get it. There's skepticism. They're going to have to prove to people that they're going to do that. But that is what the advantages are potentially for the club to do that. And that's why I think, going back to your earlier question, guys, I think this offseason is so important for them to show that they're willing to spend money, because it's leading into the potential vote for this. I think that the ownership group has to show fans that they're willing to go out and improve this club and open up their checkbook a little bit.
Alex Gold is my guest. He is the host of the Cody and Gold Show on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Let's move over to the Chiefs. And boy, it's been the defense, the story of this year so far. And Mitch came on last week and said, well, you know, these guys aren't like Madden. They don't come in off of injuries and they don't go to 100%. Well, maybe Chris Jones is a Madden player, because boy, he looked just as good as he ever has last week. And the defense has really been the side of the ball carrying the Chiefs thus far. What is making this Chiefs defense so good as you've watched the first couple of weeks?
Well, I think we're seeing the payoff of all the young pieces that got significant playing time a year ago. You know, you had across offense and defense, I think it was 10 rookies that got playing time, and a bulk of those were on defense, whether it's Karloftis, the defensive end, you have Jalen Watson and others on Leo Chanel, Trent McDuffie, that really got playing time. And I think you're seeing the benefits of having a year under their belt in which they improved and obviously won a championship with that defense and Steve Spagnuolo. And so now I think you reap the benefits of that. I mean, Trent McDuffie, eventually the rest of the league and the fan bases are going to recognize that he's going to end up being one of the best. I think he already is, but one of the best corners in football. He just doesn't get talked about yet enough. Some of that is because, as he's acknowledged, he wants to have more interceptions, more turnovers. I think sometimes with corners, we judge them wrongly just based on, oh, well, does he have like a bunch of interceptions this year? Oh, no, he must not be great. Well, if you're a shutdown corner, they're not throwing your way, right? And I think that's what Trent McDuffie's already become. And this defense now, you know, before the season, their goal was to be a top 10 defense. I know we're only two games into this thing, but right now that seems very feasible. And they still don't even have everybody together, right? I mean, Charles Aminihue was one of their bigger offseason acquisitions other than Juwan Taylor on the offensive side of the ball, and he's suspended for the first six games is Aminihue. So they still have more reinforcements coming. A little banged up right now, Nick Bolton and some other guys on defense, but I think this defense absolutely could be a top 10 defense. Right now, you know, they're pacing much higher than that, even a top 5 defense, because of how good they've been in the red zone. But this has been an awfully impressive start. And just think about it, guys. Patrick Mahomes has won two rings with middle-of-the-road type of defenses.
Yeah.
Imagine Patrick Mahomes having a top-10 defense. My goodness.
Alex, let's switch gears and go to KU football real quick. You know, 3-0, they're getting ready to play BYU today at the booth and sold out. And, you know, just what are your thoughts with this KU team? You know, first bowl game in quite a while, and this seems just really good and could be an impact in the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, look, I think I saw a stat the other day. I think it was the Kansas City Star that put it out that if Kansas today gets to 4-0 in two straight seasons, it'll be the first time they've done that since 1913. some of those games were 3-0, 6-0 type
yeah.
of
wow.
games. I mean, so it just puts in perspective what Lance Leipold has done already. And we've obviously seen that through the stadium project, the Gateway Stadium project that they're working on, and the excitement around the program. You mentioned the sellout. I mean, there's not been that many of those over the last decade or so there in Lawrence. And, you know, I think one for me, you know, Jalen Daniels obviously is the key here. That back injury still scares me a little bit, guys. And as the season goes on, will the back hold up? We know it kept him out of the first game of the year. And I think it's something they're going to have to monitor all year. If they can keep him healthy, then absolutely they've got a chance to surprise some people and get closer to, you know, actually pushing towards the top of the Big 12. But in the meantime, you know, against BYU, it's a newcomer to the Big 12. I was impressed by what I saw from BYU last week against Arkansas. A lot of people thought Arkansas was going to win that game outright and maybe even cover. I think they were 8.5-point favorites. BYU won that thing outright. Going to be some rain this afternoon there in Lawrence, and I wonder if that changes the dynamics of the game a little bit. I think BYU covers this game. I like Kansas to win, but I think BYU, who's anywhere from a 9.5 to 10.5-point underdog, I think they can cover against Kansas, especially with the weather, maybe slows the pace of the game down a little bit, although KU has shown with Devin Neal that they can run the ball. I think it's a little bit closer game than maybe people think. It's still a conference game, and Kansas gets to 4-0, in my opinion, before they head down to a top-10 Texas team down in Austin, which is going to be pretty wild to see.
Alex Gold, 6'10", Kansas City, also does a lot of stuff in terms, man, we could go, I feel, Alex, I have to cut it off because I don't have any more time. I feel like I could go like another 45 minutes with you, though. We've done so much sports talk radio, and we'll have to have you back on in December. Cody covers, he covers all of the local stuff that we care about here at Emporia, obviously, when it comes to Jayhawks and Wildcats, Chiefs and Royals, but then Alex also does a ton of stuff with sports betting, and that's a whole nother thing that they've been struggling with, getting that on the Missouri side, obviously, that he's made very, very vocal on Twitter. And how could people follow you on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it?
Appreciate it. Yeah, I know, right? I still call it Twitter.
Same here.
Yeah, at Alex Gold on Twitter. Pretty simple, just first and last name. And great to be on with you guys. Yeah, we'll be happy to come on anytime.
Alex Gold, have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you so much.
You guys do as well.
At Longmont Auto Plaza, it's Chevy truck season, and that means great offers on new Chevy trucks that are perfect for your hard-working jobs. Truck season offers on new 2023 Chevy trucks, like over $5,000 MSRP on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT 2.7-liter crew cab. Or get financing as low as 0% and $1,750 total rebates. Or get an all-new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS for only $489 per month, 36-month lease. And with all the fun fall activities, let our certified technicians keep your vehicle in top running shape for those fall road trips and school activities. Chevy's truck season is the time for incredible savings on new Chevy models. So come see us today or visit our website 24/7 at longbindauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. $489 payments based on 36-month lease with tax fees and first payment due at closing with approved credit.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Home inventory in Emporia continues to be tight. A mortgage pre-approval from Emporia State Federal Credit Union can give you a leg up with sellers, proving you're a serious buyer with the means to purchase a home. With a short phone call to Jared Gurman or Isabel Lopez or easy online application, you can be pre-approved. Tell your realtor you'll be using Emporia State Federal Credit Union to finance your new home. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by longbineauto.com. It is now time for our weekly voice with the Chiefs. Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs, joining us. Of course, you can hear Chiefs coverage all season long on Country 101.7. And Mitch's appearance is brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS number 424226. Mitch appears on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio line. Mitch, how is the voice of the Chiefs on this Saturday?
Well, a lot better than last Saturday.
I bet.
And just excited about this game tomorrow, but that was, I mean, if there's a, you got a drawer in the front drawer, Tim I know has them just full of like thumb drives, flash drives that are full of like the really good win files. This one is a really, really, really good win. This was an outstanding victory, and the world looks different, although it was a hard game, man. You saw that on our injured list, but very hard game, but we'll be pressing into tomorrow.
And Blake Cripps, Dylan Sherwood here with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Once again, kickoff is at 3:25 tomorrow on Country 101.7. We talked about Chris Jones coming back, and you said, well, you know, Chris Jones, he's not a Madden player. You can't just plug and play. Maybe he is straight out of Madden because, you know, we expected to see rust, but maybe there was some there that you can see because you're with these guys every day. But, boy, watch it on television. It didn't look like there was a whole lot of rust for old Stone Cold.
No, and I was wrong. I'll just say that right now. I was wrong. There's no way I thought he would have that kind of impact on that game or play 34 snaps. Generally, those were about 27 awesome snaps and seven where he kind of like, hey, I'm tired. But it helped now that they had a rookie right tackle in Anton Harrison who was, I mean, he was looking for his water wings about the third quarter. That kid, he was like, just send me to the hot tub, because Chris was all over that cat. But anyway, yeah, no, Chris had a huge impact on the game. But this, there were other defenders that, quite honestly, Leo Chenal had his best game yet. He was, in some plays, dynamic. The double pass, which he read all the way, which could have been a real problem to ETN, he was standing right there as soon as ETN caught it. And then Trent McDuffie had a phenomenal game. He was outstanding. He saved at least two touchdowns with his coverage technique. And the people, I mean, the receivers catch it out of bounds. They think it's always on the quarterback. Those throws weren't necessarily terrible throws. The window was so tight that was kind of close shut by McDuffie that it led to those incompletions. If you go back and watch it on video, you'll see a corner that is perhaps emerging into an elite player.
Mitch, can you talk about, I know with Richie James being out with that knee injury for tomorrow, and, you know, he's been back in the return game. Who are we expecting to see return some kicks tomorrow afternoon?
Phenomenal question. What are you doing tomorrow afternoon?
I will be in Arrowhead. I will tell you that, Mitch.
Well, fair catch it, okay? Fair catch it. You know,
it's a good idea.
Texas A&M is famous for the 12th man dragging the guy out of the stands like in 1906 or something. And it may be you, man. We might be yanking you out there. It is, if Kadarius Toney can play, he is a candidate. And then, get ready, Sky Moore.
Okay.
Be back there. My prediction would be Justin Watson going back there and basically doing what I just told you. He'll go back there and fair catch it, and we'll take off from there. But also keep in mind, we kept COVID rules for personnel. You guys, I know, realize that. You know, there's 53 on our roster, but as I said, I think I did in a training camp report. I know I did on the mini shows the week after the that week in between where we don't have a report prior to the regular season, that you really have a group of 69. You have a roster of 53 within a group of 69, meaning you have 16 on the practice squad. Two of those guys can be elevated every week. You can only do that three times. The fourth time, you must put them on your active roster for good, or at least for, I think, a period of 5 or 6 weeks. And why am I telling you all that today? Part of your answer may be in standard elevation. Just pay attention to that today and see who the Chiefs elevate. That will always give you an indication of what's possibly ahead on Sunday. You can go to transactions. You can just, some of you maybe have notifications on it, but just go to transactions and follow it. This could be all the way up to tomorrow, but there could be a couple standard elevations, and one of those might answer your question.
Mitch Holtis is joining us, the voice of the Chiefs. We're your home for Chiefs coverage on Country 101.7. Travis Kelce also was coming back from injury, and I know from just watching, I think from Travis talking after the game, there were a couple of plays that you expect him to make that he didn't quite make, but certainly seemed like he got back up to speed. Maybe not quite the Kelce that we remember from last season, but pretty darn close. What did you see out of Kelce last week?
Let's credit Jacksonville. They played us enough. You know, that's three times in, what, 10 months or 11 months?
Yeah.
Where they're almost like a division opponent now. So
you're right.
Grab, pinch, bite, pull. That's where, I mean, Kelce's threshold, his anger management right now is back, kind of back to 2014-ish, 15, 16. And then Rayshon Jenkins wears number two for them. He's the safety that used to play for the Chargers. There's 7 years of history there of biting, pulling, grabbing, pinching, talking. They did a really good job on Kelce, and they made him the priority. They realize now with this young receiving core, like, what else you got to do? And so some of that was Kelce getting frustrated. Some of it was Jacksonville's scheme. Some of it was Rayshon Jenkins. I mean, the Lord loves everyone. I'm working on loving everyone, including my so-called enemies. But there are all of us, there are people in our lives who, when they walk into the room, your blood pressure goes up about 40 megatons. That's Rayshon Jenkins for Travis Kelce right now.
Mitch, how big is Drew Tranquil tomorrow with Nick Bolton out?
Ooh. Give me another one. You know, we haven't talked about him hardly at all. It's also a big day for Jack Cochran. Jack Cochran is a undrafted rookie a year ago from the University of South Dakota. And there's going to be a lot on him and Drew's plate, but yes. And I'm going to throw in Leo Chenal into this. Now, I think Willie Gay Jr. is going to try to go, although that he's got a quad that is, again, due to – that game was so tough, you guys. Like, we had nine guys cramping. We were pouring IVs into guys. And that plane ride home, although it was an exhilarating victory, and you could tell, it exacted a toll. So Willie Gay is going to try to go, but really, it's Tranquil's huge here. And he's big tomorrow, obviously. But let's also put Chenal in there and Jack Cochran, who nobody knows about, but they might know about him tomorrow by the end of the day.
Mitch, we'll get you out of here on this. Your early thoughts on the 0-2 Bears?
I'll be serious about this, and it's going to be one of my first questions to Coach.
Sure.
When I get to interview him for pregame tomorrow. And this is one I think that is a lesson here. Coach talks about eliminating distractions. Sometimes you can be distracted by the distractions of the other team. Meaning, if you get so caught up in what has been a dumpster fire for the Chicago Bears, even getting their equipment stolen, then you can get caught up in thinking, oh, well, these guys are in disarray and they're screwed up. And, you know, and you just, and Coach said, none of that has anything to do with us. None of it. Not the DC resigning. Why did he resign? Is the FBI involved? That doesn't have anything to do with us. The left tackle going on IR, their right guard is in a bereavement situation. He may not play tomorrow. I'll just say this. You can't get caught up in all that if you're the Chiefs or Chiefs fans. Now, the other thing I would say is that I think they go back to taking Justin Fields to the 2022 Justin Fields. They've been trying to make him a 5- and 7-step drop quarterback. They have 10 sacks in 2 weeks. Last year, Justin Fields rushed for 1,143 yards. Second NFL history in a season for a quarterback. Here's your other stat of the morning, I think, as we all sip coffee in the Flint Hills, is last year, Justin Fields had 9 runs of 20 miles an hour or more. The only Tyreek Hill had more, and he had 10.
Wow.
Tyreek Hill, so think of, we don't think of Fields that way. I mean, he's big. But when he gets going, this is a 400-meter Olympic dash guy. And so I think the Bears, desperate to win, will go back to their 2022 state, and the Chiefs are actually really ready for that, preparing for that. So there's my thought on the Bears. The Bears, here's some other stats. Just defensively, God, the Chiefs should be able to get, let's get a 30 spot on the board at least. And I, because here, the Bears, if they give up 25 or more points tomorrow, this is a Tim stat, okay? If they give up 25 points or more tomorrow, it will be the 13th consecutive time they have done so. That would tie an all-time pro football record.
Wow.
With the Denver Broncos of 1963 and 64. Remember Roquan Smith? He kind of was doing a Chris Jones, but he took it a step further last year. He demanded to be traded, and he was their best defender. He was Chris Jones-ish kind of guy, right? They trade Roquan Smith. Since the Roquan Smith trade, the Bears are 0-11, and they've given up an average of 33 points a game. Hmm. Now, do your stuff here, Chiefs. Don't get caught up in, you know, just but this ought to be a game. I mean, you asked. It ought to be a game where the Chiefs at least put up a 30 spot and handle these guys.
We will hope to see that tomorrow. Mitch Holtis will have the call for you. 3:25 kickoff, and the coverage on the Chiefs Radio Network begins at 2 o'clock on Country 101.7 with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. Of course, every week brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Chiefs Kingdom Show, of course, will come on Monday. Mitch, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Have a great call tomorrow. And we'll wave hi to Dylan wherever you're at in the stadium, yeah. Dylan.
Well, if he waves at me, he might be doing the waving for the fair catch out on the field. If you see him, if you see him out there in one of your station T-shirts, you'll know he's activated. And great job reading those ads. I might call you Felix. I think this is your rookie season.
Hey.
So I think Felix is your new nickname, at least for this fall.
Well, I appreciate it very much, Mitch. And if I do see Dylan out there, I'll have the 911 call handled.
Oh.
Thanks. We'll all need it. We'll all freak out.
We don't need to be sounding a siren for
me. That's right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
See you guys.
Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. Yeah, if you're out there, I for sure will be calling 911 as soon as I hear Mitch says, oh, here comes Sherwood.
Yeah, I do not want to be out there.
No, I don't want
to
be out there.
I do not want to be out there. I've already.
If you're out there, we're going to have to find a new voice of the Spartans for next week. That's for sure. That's my prediction.
I don't know.
Well, where are you? Are you going? You're going to the game?
Yeah.
Good tickets?
Yeah, we got some decent tickets.
Nice.
My girlfriend's birthday was last weekend, so
is this part of her?
So this is part of her birthday.
Okay.
So yeah,
you got a girl that likes the Chiefs. It sounds like a keeper to me. So have fun up there.
This will be the fifth game.
Fifth game you've gone to?
Fifth game that we've gone to.
I have
together.
Never been to a Chiefs game.
Really?
It's just shocking. I know. Dan's looking at me through the penalty glass like, "What? Who are you?" I've been to one game at Arrowhead Stadium. It was Armageddon at Arrowhead. One. I was on the call for KGHK for the second half.
Wow. So you've experienced calling a game at Arrowhead.
I have called a game, but it wasn't a Chiefs game. Haven't been to it. And that was an amazing atmosphere to be at KU Missouri, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, have fun up there.
Thank you.
Enjoy
thank
the
you.
Game.
Hey, have a good call today.
I will try.
Go Hornets.
Speaking of upcoming games, as Dylan just mentioned, hope that you'll join us coming up at 1 o'clock, RV Doc pregame at noon on Mix 104.9. The Broncos coming into town for Family Day. Dan and I will be there. Tegan will be there as well. Hope you'll join us for Family Day. KU versus BYU at 2:30, 1 o'clock pregame. That'll be on this frequency, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. The Wildcats coming up against Central Florida. Boy, you talk about injuries with the Chiefs. Huh. Kansas State Wildcats, you guys have got some injuries to deal with today. Whew. See if they can pull it out against the Knights. 7 o'clock kickoff, that's on Country 101.7. Chiefs and Bears, we've Told you about that tomorrow, 3:30. And then Sunday Night Football, Steelers and the Raiders, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. That is coming up tomorrow for Sunday Night Football. We'll have Monday Night Football as well. And Hornet Talk coming up on Monday on Mix 104.9. So that is the show for today. Thank you very much to Mitch Holthus once again, Alex Gold, Coach Glensman, Tim Miller, wherever you are. Hope you're enjoying the day off. And, of course, to our studio engineer, Dan Courtright. For Dylan Sherwood, this is Blake Cripps. This is KVOE Emporia, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE, live and local. Have a great weekend.
AM 1400 KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. United Auto Workers in week two of the historic strike against GM, Ford, and Stellantis automakers. They're back on the picket lines coast to coast. ABC's Faith Abube is outside Detroit at a plant in Wayne, Michigan.
We are the union!
We are the union!
The United Auto Workers back on the picket lines as President Biden prepares to join the striking workers in solidarity next week.
No pay!
No work!
Friday, the union expanding their targeted strike, asking workers at 38 GM and Stellantis parts distribution facilities in 20 states from California to Florida to walk off the job after a stalemate with the two automakers.
Despite growing calls to resign and battle, Democratic Senator Bob Menendez refusing to resign after federal prosecutors indicted him.